You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Stick a fork in them.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined in a room that's filled with some heroes. To my left, Mr. James Dean himself. It is Chris Wessling. And to my right, Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Wes wearing a plain white tee.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know it was such a controversial choice. I thought a lot of people wear t-shirts and jeans, and I needed something to match my Huckapoo's hat.
With a cap, a Huckapoo's cap, and a shaved mug, looking like a much younger version of himself.
I feel young.
I suggested you roll up a pack of cigarettes in the right sleeve, but it's not there yet.
I think my dad used that maneuver in the 60s.
When everyone says you look way younger after you shave your beard, maybe it's a sign keep the beard off.
Keisha basically told me she was going to break up with me if I shaved the beard. Mm. I risked it anyway.
Well, now you got her locked in.
Yeah,
you're that's in what control. I now that she has the ring on, she's not going to bail at this point.
It's a defiant gesture on my part.
Absolutely. Yes, it is mini camp week in the NFL. So as promised, 3 podcasts this week. Maybe some waffling before the show, Greg, whether this was necessary once we got to today, Monday. But, we're in too deep. It never became a serious topic.
Now we are, now that you're talking about it again. In theory, we could have still lopped off one at the end.
It never became a serious topic, but there was this idea like, well, we don't have to do 3 shows, but we told the audience we would, and that's what we'll do.
Yeah. You guys want it, right, listeners? Yeah.
Greg wearing his fancy boy blazer, which means he's going on television today. NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal today.
Now, we've got to be very quiet. Up in the clearing, we have the incredibly rare NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal. Oh, crap, you scared it away.
Yeah, Greg and I look like we're doing 2 different things today.
I'm like right in between you two guys with my white guy polo. Got some news to get to. Including, all right, now that we're getting to mandatory minicamp, this is when you have to be there. That's mandatory. That's what it means. So when somebody doesn't show up to mandatory camp, then it's time to talk. And there is a big, big defensive star in the NFC that is not with teammates. Also, it's back. A couple year hiatus, I believe, mostly just because I forgot about it. And now I remembered it again. It is the Superstar Club.
I didn't even know there was a hiatus.
Yeah.
We got a lot of updating.
We definitely didn't do it last year.
No. The last time it was a written piece on this website was 2015. Now it's back. So just assume that it did happen those years, so we don't need to do housekeeping. Just imagine it from 2017 into 2018. What is the Superstar Club? We'll get into it. But all you need to know, most importantly, is that it's a zero-sum game. That's where it gets tough.
I think it's smart not to do it every year. It would change too much. I think revisiting every 2 or 3 years is a better way to do it.
Counterpoint. There's nothing to write about right now. So it's a good one to have in the holster every May and June.
There's a lot of things that are good to have in the holster come May and June.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about that. And let's get to it, though. Oh, and Mark, of course, he slipped through our fingers again. Back into the wilderness, the urban jungle of Los Angeles.
Oh, Wes saw him last
night. I saw him in last
live.
Colleen and Tamposi and Mark.
Yeah.
And Keisha, we all met up, and Mark was in good form.
Good form.
Yeah, he was in good form.
He looks refreshed. He looks refreshed. It just started. He's the one guy that gets less refreshed as the vacation goes along.
Right. Now he's good.
Yeah.
Well, let's check in next
Monday. He'll be very
Monday.
Haggard by next Sunday. But hey, man, he lives his life. That's how he does it. All right, let's do some news. Was that the gay pride parade?
I don't know what that was.
Lindsay?
There was a Rob Gronkowski cheering for his horse at the end of the race at the Belmont.
Yeah, Gronkowski, the horse, came in second, I believe.
He did, and he bet $69 on him.
Yeah, course. Him and all of his friends did.
Big
and
dumb
family.
Animal. Such an idiot.
And they made $1,200 off of that because he was he was a long shot and he placed.
So why is Gronk complaining about money then?
About 12 rocks.
You know, that's something to sneeze rocks. At.
12 dimes.
I just really like the part where he was yelling for him to run faster.
That is good. All right, good.
I like that they call the horse Rob. They don't call him. They don't call him Gronkowski. I read it. They all call the horse Rob. Just easier that way.
Nobody even calls Rob Rob.
Yeah, exactly. All right, to the news. Earl Thomas, the all-pro Seahawks safety, will not be participating in any team activities. The all-pro safety addressed frustrations with his contract situation on Twitter Sunday. I will not be attending the upcoming minicamp or any team activities until my contract situation is resolved. And Wes, 29 years old, he's entering the final year of his contract, making a base of $8.5 million. No contract talks planned. So we are – this is what you call an impasse.
Yes.
Or an impasse.
I think you had it right the first time. Yeah, I think at age 29, this is probably his last chance for a mega contract. It's interesting because the Seahawks were shopping him. They had a chance to do a deal, and they tried over the draft break, but they couldn't agree on a deal with the Cowboys. So now you're wondering what's going to happen. Is he going to even show up to training camp? Is he going to play in week one? I don't know.
This is a mini camp holdout story that is more interesting than most because I think there's a chance here he's not on the roster week one. Whereas most of these, you just kind of assume it's all going to get worked out. And I think you have to recognize that there's a possibility that he gets traded between now and then. Because if he sticks to those words he said, I don't think he's going to be on the team. I think he'll either back off of that or they'll trade him.
I struggle to like get emotionally invested in the situation because I do feel like he's going to be there. He's trying to make something happen, but do we think that he's willing to not play? Maybe that's true.
Right, it's passing up. That would be passing up a lot of money. It's a different situation, and I'll just throw this into the news. Why not? Sure. Another mini camp holdout, Khalil Mack, is reported today that he's not going to show up. And I think that one, he's got enough leverage. That's the one I expect, if I had to pick one, to last deep maybe into training camp, and that's going to be something we'll get sick of talking about, is the Khalil Mack. But he's got a lot more leverage, I think, than Earl Thomas does with Seattle, because as great as he is, I think they've kind of drawn their line in the sand and said, sorry, we're not gonna pay you.
So the Seahawks just don't want him on the team next year? Is that what we're saying? They don't want him to be a part of their future?
I don't know. It's a little surprising, and it's just kind of part of the MO right now. There was also a tweet over the weekend from Cam Chancellor. People started reading into. It's like this whole Seahawks overhaul has been such a big story this offseason, and it's not necessarily over. We haven't found out the final word on Chancellor, and Earl Thomas is going to just be hanging out there.
In other news, the Dallas Cowboys have locked up one of their most important players, right guard Zach Martin, signs a 6-year extension through 2024, this from Rap Sheet. It makes Martin the highest paid guard with the largest guarantee at his position in the history of the NFL, passing Andrew Norwell. 27 years old, Martin, widely considered one of the best, if not the best, interior linemen in football. Guy is rock solid. He never misses a game. He's everything you could have asked for with a first-round pick, which he was in 2014, and he's in Dallas for the long haul. Greg Rosenthal.
Yeah, he's a guy watching All or Nothing that you realize is such an important part of that team, and everyone around that team says that. It's amazing. Ross Tucker pointed this out on Twitter, that he was a left tackle in college, and then he just decided to – they had him switch at the pro level, and now he's just the best player at his position, basically since the moment he entered the league.
There are no, like, Anthony Munoz, Walter Jones-level tackles in the NFL right now. This guy might be the best offensive lineman, period, in the NFL. Mm.
I mean, Tyron Smith, if he's healthy and right, but it's been – maybe a year and a half since that's actually happened, to me, is at that level. So the fact that you have two of those guys on the same team in a
great center. And by the way, also, yeah, one of the best centers in the league.
Right, and a great center, too. It's pretty amazing. It's amazing that, like, the leverage, I guess, of minicamp was enough to get this done, because he had been skipping work all offseason as well and was expected to miss mandatory minicamp, but they got him in time.
Moving on, some bad news out of Houston. Safety Andre Hall has been diagnosed with Hodgkin lymphoma. The team announced on Friday he is currently discussing treatment options and a very difficult situation for, obviously, the Texans and Hall. He's been a mainstay in Houston on their defense. He's appeared in 61 games, 38 starts over the past four seasons. And this is the same Texans team that last year went through a similar situation with offensive lineman David Quisenberry, who battled non-Hodgkin lymphoma for four years. So last week we learned about the cancer diagnosis of Giants GM Dave Gettleman and now Andre Hall. It just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, Chief Safety Eric Berry ended up missing about a year when he had, I believe he had a Hodgkin lymphoma, but he had cancer and he was out about a year. So maybe Hall can come back next year. They did go out and sign Honey Badger, and they drafted Eric Reed's brother, Justin Reed, to play safety. So they have some depth there.
It makes you wonder, though, if they would think about signing Eric Reed. He's out there. Kenny Vaccari's out there, too. I mean, I saw this news, and you feel, you know, just terrible for Andre Hall in the middle of a really good career, kind of worked his way up the hard way, is really respected there as a solid starter. In my mind, also turned to the Texans because that's a thin position. I know they did have a draft pick there, but there's these good safeties out, Trey Boston, Vaccaro, Eric Reed. Maybe you have the Reed brothers, and our thoughts obviously go out to Andre. That's tough, but he had a very inspirational Twitter message, which sounded like he was ready to take this thing on.
In other news, Rob Gronkowski, this weekend it popped up trade rumors surrounding the All-Pro Patriots tight end. Of course, Gronkowski, you know, squabbling over money with the Patriots. And Gronk actually spoke on these rumors at a youth event this weekend, calling anything connected to Gronkowski and trade talk as, quote, fake news. Fake news. The trade, by the way, the report, where did it come from? The original report that kind of picked up.
Well, was it Adam Kirkjian?
Well, it started from the same Reddit guy who basically was a day ahead of the Julian Edelman suspension. And then he put something out there that, like, ooh, there's buzz building for another huge Patriots story. Didn't say what it was exactly. And then people just, I got texts from multiple Patriots fans who was like, is Gronk getting traded today? And this is before this freelance writer even put anything out there. I didn't know.
Why it wasn't from freelance in there.
I wasn't familiar with him, but I did see that the Patriots released a strong statement saying it's totally false and that all the best reporters that cover the Patriots, and there are a million of them, didn't report anything. And a few of them said it's absolutely not true. And by the way, Gronk and Belichick were talking at Belmont on Saturday. It was right. Like Belichick was just hanging around Central Park Friday afternoon. It didn't seem like any of it really made a lot of sense.
Let me share what the reporting was from Kirkjian. From multiple sources, here's what I have regarding the Gronk trade rumors. Told Belichick wanted to trade him. Offers on the table with both the Titans and 49ers. Ooh, imagine Gronk and Jimmy G by the Bay. He and Robert Kraft had a closed-door meeting to discuss. This is highly detailed, by the way, for a baseless report. Tom Brady threatened to retire if the deal went through, and then Kraft nixed it. Following up off that was a statement from Stacey James, who runs Pat's PR. I would say with the utmost confidence that none of that is true. None of it. But they also denied everything that Wickersham reported a few months back.
Not as hard. In fact, there was a pretty big difference. In fact, I sort of read into their handling of the Wickersham story as they were admitting certain parts of it. It was a little different. This, they came out as strong as humanly possible to say it was BS.
Well, that's not true. They said physically injured the reporter. They're like as strong.
The part that made me realize it was almost certainly nonsense is some other guy who runs like a Pat site said, oh, that's all this is the exact same information I've heard too. And so like the exact same rumor has gotten into two people who aren't necessarily as experienced as reporters. And that's, they've heard the exact same thing. I believe that they heard the exact same thing, But, like, I think this Patriots offseason is taking a life of its own. People are so,
right.
I haven't seen anything quite like this. People are so eager and so sick of the Pats to be over. And I get that just now things are just popping up out of just because people want it to happen.
We were trying to decide whether to write the story or not, and we checked in with Mike Garafolo, who basically said, stop bothering me with fake stories. There's nothing to this.
When they come out that strong against it, I tend
to. Well, how about this? I choose to believe it. I mean, doesn't make me right. Doesn't make you right.
It's just fun.
I like it. I'm enjoying it. And, you know, Jimmy G and Gronk by the Bay.
He was having a great mini camp last week. Rob Gronkowski. Trash talking.
Greg, I bad podcast hosting by me, but I want to talk about this columnist for the Detroit Free Press, Carlos Monarez, who had some hot, saucy takes on the Lions and Matt Patricia. I know you threw it out there, something to talk about.
Why is it bad podcast?
Because I didn't read it. I didn't read it.
So oh.
If you could set it up, and Wes and I will.
I read it.
Have hot takes.
Wes read it, but he said he only made it through about three paragraphs.
No, that was a different one. That was a different Lions. That was the Lions are going to the Super Bowl article.
Well, I think
wrote.
The lead of it really gets to the heart of the matter. And the lead is from Carlos Monarez. Matt Patricia is in danger of losing his players. That was my main observation from 3 days of minicamp this week. The Detroit Lions rookie coach want things his way, done his way, and his way means running as punishment. Lots and lots of running. And then you went on from there, and you were expecting, okay, where is he going with this? And there was nothing more. There was all he had was that Patricia has them run laps and sprint sometimes as punishment. And That was it. And he had one quote from a young player who said that they were all grown-ups, but he later had to clarify because the player said, all we were talking about was that I'm a rookie and these guys all know everything. We weren't talking about the running at all. And so it was a hot take extraordinaire right there.
Patricia's tactics smacked of amateurism. And even though it was generally downplayed as an innocuous slap on the wrist, I can guarantee you most players don't care for it.
Is it unique to have players run at the NFL level? Like, I definitely thought, like, the Patriots must hate it because they have this little hill that they always talk about. They running up and down the hill. He's losing his players.
This guy needs to find a new line of work because column writing is not in his future. This is one of the worst columns I've ever read. It's totally brain dead, but it's also boring. It doesn't suck you in. Like, usually a columnist tries to go for a controversial take that's spicy. There's nothing spicy about this. It's just boring.
I think our boy here should reach out to Adam Kirkjian. You want to report a firebomb? You better sauce it up.
Yeah, go strong.
Yeah, Monarez, I think you might have to go. You know, maybe you can become an interior design writer or something because I don't think sports columnist is in your future.
So you're saying keep him in the newspaper industry, just move to a different department?
Ostensibly, he's that's a writer, nice just not a columnist.
He's worked his way up, to columnist. That's a big spot.
Yeah, right. He should work his way back down.
I mean, he said he was mostly worried for the roster bubble players, that this extra running that they're doing, that's taking up reps that those roster bubble players could be getting on the field. Too much running.
That's a fair point.
The roster bubble players are used to, he said, being berated by their position coaches, not being forced to run, as if that's better.
And I don't like this grown man. Like, these are grown men. Like, it's conditioning to play football. And it's the same sport where coaches, like, make 15 speeches to them every single day, teaching them, treating them like children, whether it's the middle of June, July, September, anytime.
All right, let me just also say that I also agree and believe in the reporting here and analysis. So
I believe that people were running.
I think Patricia is in danger of losing this team. So what's his name again?
Monarez.
Carlos Monarez?
Monarez. Hashtag I stand with Monarez. Hashtag I stand with Kirkjian.
He did take it another step. He said he did admit the running on its own won't lose the players for Patricia. But. You have to assume if he's using these tactics in front of reporters, he could be using other tactics privately that are quote, equally distasteful to players.
It's like caning them?
This article is so laughably bad.
I would have cut that graph, even though I'm standing with Monarez. I would have cut that.
You're buying what a lot of people are selling to
I'm it. Riding the Monarez. All right, Ben. Finally in the news, a trope alert. You know what it is. It's trope alert time.
Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert.
This one's a doozy.
Trope alert. trope alert.
Ezekiel Elliott entering his third year in the NFL. We're at a time of transition on some level with the Dallas Cowboys. Jason Witten, Dez Bryant, no longer there. Someone's got to step up and be a vocal presence in that locker room. Maybe it's going to be Zeke. This, according to Gary Brown, running backs coach of the Cowboys. Elliott's been much more vocal. It's good for him. He's in his third year coming out of here being a more vocal leader, not just a leader by what he does on the football field. I think that's really good for him and really good for our football team. That's a big one, Greg. That's a biggie.
This is one of the top trope alerts. It's a third year. I've said that a few times, but yeah. I'm serious.
Third year star.
It's always like a third year player and a couple veterans have just left the team. And it doesn't necessarily need to be a third year player. It could be fourth, fifth, whatever. But it's like now he hasn't been really the talkative type before, but he's going to step it up, start talking.
Because it could even be like a 9-year veteran. And then they just need somebody to be like, oh, yeah, he makes sense. Yeah, he's vocal.
It's like
now.
Veterans left. Someone's got to talk.
Can you? It's hard to find a less verifiable or less meaningful statement from a position coach than this one. It's not – how can you even verify if he's really being more vocal?
Right.
The running back coach caught him in a couple of conversations with other players? Is that what happened?
And you've watched All or Nothing, Dan.
I have.
Did Zeke strike you as a – he didn't seem like he would be the first guy that would – and they have plenty of vocal leaders. I don't know if they need another, but
sometimes
it didn't seem like –
sometimes I wondered while watching All or Nothing whether Zeke had sun poisoning. Put it that way, not the most vocal guy, never really seemed to be wildly engaged.
That was last year.
With his surroundings.
Well,
that's true.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, there was a lot going on with Zeke last year, obviously, that was on his mind. And so I gave him a pass for that. But it often seemed like whenever the running backs coach was speaking to him that he wasn't particularly paying attention.
Yeah, Gary Brown was the coach last year as well, and I
seemed kind of in his own planet, which happens with 23-year-olds that are incredibly good at what they're doing. You know,
I have two more episodes to go, but in the first five or six episodes, I have not heard Zeke Elliott respond to anything Gary Brown said to him with more than a shrug or an inaudible groan or a one-word answer.
Right. Gary will go like, 2 minutes trying to make this big point and then kind of ask Zeke, all right, what do you think? He'd be like, all right.
The position he plays, I don't think there's a whole lot of learning he has to do.
But I do like Gary Brown on All or Nothing.
He's
a
great
nice guy. And I also believe him here too as well. So I'm also going to get in on this, that Zeke is going to be a fireball. You remember how Dez would go mad on the sideline? That's going to be Zeke in 2018 for the Cowboys. That's what's happening in the news. Okay. This is why we get paid the big bucks.
Oh.
Because who else in June, on June 11th, Christ's sake, doing a football podcast on June 11th, that's where we're at right now. And you know what? We're not going to take a Matt Patricia penalty lap and just jog easily around the perimeter. We're going to dive in hard and go into the Superstar Club. And we are going to bring people into the Superstar Club. But more importantly, and a much more difficulty scale, like when you look at it, like how hard it is, we're going to have to take some people out of the Superstar Club. Think about that, because this is a zero-sum game. So if you look at the NFL as the superstars of the NFL as like a club, a nightclub, we have to be the bouncers at the door with a clicker in the hand. One gets in, somebody's got to go. It's a zero-sum game.
Look, we have capacity.
It's not easy. I mean, imagine being an NFL great and being told by the likes of me to get out of the club. What are they going to do?
Well, they got to go.
I mean, what am I going to do if they really
You don't have
leave?
To go home.
I don't have many options.
You just can't stay here. And that's the truth of it. So let's go around the room a couple times here, Wes. And this is hard work. This is difficult work. This is humbling. And also very exciting for the gentlemen that are joining the most exclusive of all clubs for active NFL players, the Superstar Club. Wes, take it away.
Well, I'm going wide receiver here, and I actually thought about doing Amari Cooper as this year's Todd Gurley. Mm. Changing coaching staff. The talent is obvious. Like even when he's slumping, you can tell that he's talented and he could do it. John Gruden has said he's going to be the centerpiece of the new offense. And then I see a tweet from Marcus Grant, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Says he saw a picture of Amari Cooper, who was definitely not in the best shape of his life right now.
A little chunky.
So I had to go away from Amari Cooper. Michael Thomas.
Wow, Fantasy Live's own Marcus Grant.
Marcus Grant,
changing
big pop.
Future.
Yeah.
Pop.
So we're going with a receiver who I think is better than Amari Cooper anyway. Michael Thomas of the Saints.
Oh, yeah.
Only two wide receivers, Jarvis Landry and Larry Fitzgerald, had more receptions than Michael Thomas last year. And those two guys play on the inside in the slot where it's just really short passes, quick passes. Michael Thomas is out running like an intricate route tree on the outside, getting open. Already Drew Brees is number one receiver. And I think this guy is ready to jump into that like top six or seven wide receivers in the NFL superstar club.
I couldn't agree more. And he's in such a great spot for it. Even though they haven't always had that number one receiver that puts up monster numbers, I think Michael Thomas, he's already started to change that, and it's only going to continue. And one impression I got, having covered a couple of the Saints games last year, is that he has the respect, I think, of his teammates in his locker room as, like, the baddest guy in there, as, like, one of the, if not the hardest workers in there, as, like, a young guy who outworks just about anyone and has the body to prove it, because that dude is a specimen.
And just to, again, make it clear before Wes tells us who's got to go now, Michael Thomas, what Wes is saying was entering this time last year, Michael Thomas would not have been a superstar club guy.
No.
It's now that he makes that jump, and it goes the same the other way. Somebody that the football cognoscenti may have viewed as a superstar last summer, now things have changed. Who is no longer a superstar?
Yeah, I think the route is impressive rookie season, then breakout candidate, then superstar club.
Gotcha.
There's a route you have to go here. I don't want to – this is hard because it's one of my favorite players. One of my favorite players in NFL history.
Oh, no.
When he was entering his third season, he was a lot like Michael Thomas.
Okay.
Worked his butt off. The hardest working guy in the locker room. Respected. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the most respected players in NFL history. Larry Fitzgerald.
Wow. Wow. Which is, by the way, just for the historians of the Superstar Club, the old Zeuser booted him out in 2015. And he responded with three straight 110-catch seasons.
He didn't take kindly to that.
No.
He had three down years basically in a row.
Well,
right?
Larry did. He politely declined, and he stayed in the club. But we're going to be a little bit more strict and forceful this time for Larry. Why, Wes?
The numbers are there, but it's – I'm not going to say it's not because he's not good anymore. He's got great hands. He goes all out, it seems, on every target to catch the ball. But he's going to have a new quarterback. He's averaged 10 yards per reception over the last 2 years, which is a really low figure. He's not making that many big plays. And whereas he used to be a red zone monster – the last time he had double-digit touchdowns was a half decade ago. So, to me, Larry Fitzgerald is not the player he used to be. And he's still a good receiver. Still deserves everyone to respect, but he's not a superstar
not
anymore.
Not a superstar. Which, and everyone should know, that does not mean he's no longer a useful player.
No, he's a,
or a great player.
He's a great player who, maybe because of the situation, the numbers are a little bit inflated because they need him. And that's what Larry Fitzgerald steps up and he takes care of it. But if he was on in a perfect team, maybe he's more of a role player, a really good role player.
Counterpoint to that is, like, you could, you know, if a team needs you and you answer the bell.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying, and I agree with you. All right, Larry, there you go. So in Michael Thomas, out Larry Fitzgerald. I'm going to stick with wide receivers because
we got a lot of wide receivers here.
Yeah, because I think this must be a time of turnover at the position in the club. And I'm gonna stick with the same team, actually. And I'm going to go with Davante Adams. It's time. I think it's time for Davante. I think everything is pointing in that direction. And, of course, with the wide receivers, so much is tied to the quarterback staying healthy and how good the quarterback is. Well, you got the best quarterback ever, arguably. Top three, top five guy. And Aaron Rodgers, who's healthy, hopefully he stays healthy. And he is the number one guy. And why is he the number one guy? Why is it there no question? Because the guy I got to say goodbye to, Jordy Nelson, he's leaving the Superstar Club. Not only did he leave the Packers, not by his own choice. I think he's going to a place in Oakland where it's going to be difficult for a 33-year-old guy who showed signs of decline last season, at least when Rodgers was out of the lineup. And now he's going to a new offense, a team in Oakland that's in flux a little bit. You don't know if he'll be able to find a role. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Can he still be a very useful player? Yes, absolutely, just like Larry Fitzgerald. I don't think he's going to strike fear in the hearts of defensive coordinators anymore. Davante Adams, I believe, can be that guy. And if everything goes right in Green Bay, which I feel like is a qualifier that happens a little too much in the offseason with the Packers, I do think Adams can be a guy that leads the league in yards, that can score 10, 12, 14 touchdowns, be a yak monster. I think he is a stud.
Two things about Davante Adams that are impressive to me. He leads the NFL in touchdown catches over the last two seasons. He's already that red zone guy. Also a great route runner, but I think we saw last year when Rodgers went down and Brett Hundley came in and was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, Davante Adams was still producing every week.
Yep.
That's impressive.
And with Hundley, it was about as impressive as it possibly could have been. I mean, he was really the one guy. And I couldn't agree more, Dan, to the point that, you know, I need to come up with a backup.
Oh, sorry about that.
Because that I was going to put Davante Adams in as well.
I banged you there.
No, it's good.
Not on purpose.
It's good. It shows that he deserves to enter. And we're projecting a little bit. But part of it was I went back and watched some of the early season games with Aaron Rodgers last year. And the timing that he has with Rodgers, that Adams has with Rodgers, is awesome. So you have not just unbelievable route running where he can get open, you know, off of the line of scrimmage, but oftentimes when he's not open and Rodgers knows exactly where he's going to be, knows exactly what he's going to do, and he just looks nice out there. And I don't like the rest of the receiver group that much overall, but I think that's just going to play in the superstar club's favor. I think you could see a 1,500, 1,600-yard type of season out of
him. I think Randall Cobb seems to be the number two there.
He's the number two.
In 2018, does that light up my Christmas tree? Not in a huge way anymore, but all the more reason for more targets.
I'm spinning because I was going to – it's funny, you kicked out an old Packer. I was going to kick out a new Packer, Jimmy Graham, out of the club, but I guess I can't even do it.
Also booted in 2015, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like the opposite. Jimmy Graham's getting double-digit TDs with Aaron Rodgers throwing to him. But so what Jared superstar? Cook did in that offense. Greg and I disagree. I think Jimmy Graham's still got a lot left in the tank, and Greg thinks he basically doesn't move well anymore.
All right, so you're kicking out Jimmy Graham. Do you want to start there?
Well, no, because I'm scrambling with this Davante Adams thing. I'm going to go to the other side of the – I don't have it. I didn't come up with this.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to go to the other side of the ball, and I'm going to put in a guy you mentioned kind of, Wes, that the progression of great rookie year, breakout second year, now he's into the club. And what this NFL needs, I believe, right now, with some of the more boisterous, entertaining cornerbacks who love to talk about they're the best player in the league, kind of, you know, a little bit on the decline here and saying goodbye, we need another one to come in, and Jalen Ramsey is that guy. And I think his level of play has established himself almost even as a rookie. You could have put him in early, but you had to make sure, see what was going on. And I think we saw it a year ago from Jalen Ramsey. And the thing I like that he belongs in the superstar club is, like, he's not going to be some wallflower just like, buy a couple drinks and sit on the side of the club or whatever. It's like, no, people are going to know Jalen Ramsey is in there.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to carry himself like he's been there the whole time.
He's going to have a booth.
Right, but exactly.
Velvet ropes.
People are sitting there.
My counterpoint would be he carries himself that way because he already has been a superstar.
That's what I agree. I agree, but this is – it's a little bit perception.
Yeah.
It's a little bit just national attention and everything. And coming off of that rookie year, hey, we're tough bouncers. You know, they – even though maybe his play deserved it, he wasn't as – you had to see him do it again.
How about this? The last thing the Jaguars need is another superstar on defense. And I think Jalen Ramsey already is that guy. But I thought about Miles Jack for this.
Wow.
That he was so impressive during the playoffs last year.
That's a big step, though.
He was so impressive last year. And there aren't many guys. So we've got this guy like Rob Gronkowski. We've got these tight ends who are basically unguardable by one player because that's the evolution of the position. But linebacker has not grown. It has not evolved to the point where one guy can – tackle or hang with Gronkowski in coverage. I think Miles Jack has the best chance of becoming that.
Wow.
Guy.
Remember, Miles Jack won the AFC Championship game for the Jaguars before the NFL stepped in and took
wasn't,
away that
wasn't
fumble.
Even on the field every snap for much of last year. So I think you've got to take that step. But he was taking Puzlesny's, it at the end.
Puzlesny's gone. I think he's going to be an every down player, and I think he was tremendous in coverage last year.
So you know how it's one guy in, one guy out.
Right.
Zero sum game. I'm doing something a little different. Actually,
go ahead, do it.
Position. Two guys in, two guys out at the cornerback position. I'm just freewheeling now.
Do it.
You've
Fly.
Scrambled me with Davante Adams. Ramsey's going in, and so is Marshon Lattimore. They're just going to go in together because we realized, you know, we wanted to wait a year extra with Ramsey a year ago. No. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do that with Lattimore. That's how good he was. He's a great follow on Twitter. Also has a lot of swagger. And then –
While you're really big on guys with swag into the club.
It's important. It's right. The only show of the year, but that's important to me.
I get it.
So those two guys are going in because Lattimore is at that level and just had a season I haven't seen. And then at the exact same time, we're kicking out two Seahawks, Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman. Sorry. Ooh. No longer a Seahawk Sherman, but the Legion of Boom actually, they're asked to leave together. It's a tough assignment.
Sherman makes a lot of sense to me. 30, wrong side of 30. Coming off an Achilles injury, two Achilles injuries, in fact.
Right.
Including one where it was a full-on repair.
And was still a good player, but not quite at the level. So I think he probably expected that. Thomas is like, wait, you're talking to me? I mean, he is not expecting that.
Yeah, he just ordered a drink. He's at the bar. He's like, he's mingling, and then he's getting a tap on the shoulder from
Earl Thomas has had some incredible moments in the last two seasons. I don't think Earl Thomas has been quite at the crazy level. Now, we're talking a crazy level. Like
he's been beat up.
First ballot Hall of Fame level. So it's tough to stay at that level, but I don't think he's been quite the same player the last couple of years, and I think that's part of the factor of why the Seahawks are anxious about giving him that contract. So and he hasn't been healthy.
Are you enjoying as much as me the idea of Earl Thomas getting tapped on the shoulder in this club and turning around and it's Greg telling him?
Hey, look, I don't make the rules.
I think Greg would get punched.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be. Can I throw somebody out there?
I'd be in trouble.
Can I make not a plea, because I'm not that invested in Earl Thomas, but this is also controversial, okay? And also a little bit more even Steven, because it's a guy that's a corner, but he's kind of a hybrid. What if I got to tell Honey Badger he's got to step out?
I didn't know he was in the club. I like Honey Badger too much. I'm not telling him anything.
I think Honey Badger absolutely was in the club at some point.
That's
many years ago.
That's true.
The club is a better, more fun place with Honey Badger.
I agree. I love the man, but that's not what this is about.
Mm. Well, but you know what? Bouncers sometimes.
Zero-sum game.
It's true. I thought you were going to go Josh Norman there. I Bouncers sometimes, they play favorites. Well, it's not all fair. It's not all fair in the club.
Yeah.
And he's just one of my favorites. And
Who's better at this
him.
Stage, Honey Badger or Earl Thomas? Why don't we start there?
Earl Thomas.
Well, we had the whole, you know, Legion of Boom thing. It really
I know, but even
together.
Sherman's not there either. So it's kind of like
it's a good story.
This is some good work on your part, really holding Greg's feet to the fire on this.
I'm just kind of.
Earl Thomas is out.
I'm sticking with it. I mean, Earl's going to just.
Wow.
He's going to destroy me, I expect.
I feel
that.
Like he's going to hear about this, and you might get a tweet. This is possible. Well, don't do it, though.
Now you
snitches
just,
get stitches. Do not tweet at Earl Thomas saying Greg kicked him out. That's not what I was trying to do there. But if it happens, it happens. Wes, you got another one?
Yeah, and you know, as much as Greg might be not looking forward to facing down Earl Thomas, I'm not looking forward to telling Terrell Suggs he's out of the club.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, the club is a little bit of a better place, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing it for Mark.
Yeah.
He's wanted Terrell Suggs out of the club for a decade now.
Although I think he's earned his spot, really, and he's still a solid player, but this is I think it makes sense what you're doing.
He's going to turn 36 this year.
So Lyles Jack is in and Suggs is out?
I was throwing Miles Jack into that conversation, but I'm going to go with a rookie, actually. What? Immediate smashing success, Roquan Smith.
But you just putting a rookie into the superstar club?
I am.
That's never been done before.
I put Adrian Peterson into the superstar club before he ever played a down in the NFL.
I invented the superstar club like 3 years ago.
Well, I didn't call it the superstar club, but, you know, sometimes you know a rookie's going to be great.
Okay.
And
regular Draftnik over here.
Let me just
Chris
get
Wesley has been diving deep into the
– All right, so Miles Jack was just – you were kind of throwing him out there. But your actual formal application – Roquan Smith, the Bears rookie, in, and you're sending out Terrell Suggs, T-Sizzle, Balsahard University.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that The Bears are basically linebacker U of the NFL. They have a long history of middle and inside linebackers who are Hall of Famers. Dick Butkus, Bill George, Mike Singletary, Roquan Smith, Brian Urlacher. This is meant to be, and I think, you know, you see quotes like Eric DaCosta, the Ravens assistant GM, talking about the Ravens' plans, and, you know, they say, if somebody like Roquan Smith slips to you, you have to take him because he's basically a can't-miss guy. He's an instant success, and I think that's what's going to happen. And for one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL, Vic Fangio.
Vic Fangio.
It's a little risky here.
I mean,
because he could be very good right away.
Wait, are you going to bounce the bouncer?
But he could be like CJ Mosley good. You know, he could just be like a really
good
player.
That's why it's highly risky.
Not quite a superstar.
I'm not afraid, Greg.
Let me throw something out there, because I had a rookie in mind as
well.
Wes
has stared down death, so he's not going to be afraid of Terrell Suggs.
Now,
I'm still going to be afraid of Terrell Suggs.
Yeah, a defender, him coming through and immediately being a superstar, even – J.J. Watt couldn't even pull that off. Sometimes it takes a year or two.
Kuechly did it, I would say.
Okay, it happens, and you're saying he's one of those guys. One position, though, if there's one position, and you guys are scientists, so I think you're going to guess this. There's one marquee position in the NFL where you can come out of college and even have your best year ever in year one. What is it?
Running back.
Running back. I'm going to get on the Saquon Barkley train again. And I'm going to say he is going to be a guy that comes into the league.
Now it's okay to put a rookie in?
Well, I just said
I
there's
was the
one position.
Okay.
There's one position where you could say, because you could have your best year as a rookie more often than I think any other position.
That's true.
Barkley hits the ground running. He's a superstar. He changes the Giants' fortunes. And I got to kick somebody out. And this is probably unfair because this guy – I think he's a Hall of Famer already. If not, he's right on the doorstep. Maybe just needs even one more year. But he's also heading on the wrong side of 30, and he's going to be surrounded by a deeply inept offense.
Shady.
Quarterback in transition, offensive line issues. LeSean McCoy. I don't even feel great about doing this because McCoy didn't get enough. I know the Bills made the playoffs, and that was a great story. I don't think McCoy got enough credit for that. Did you know that LeSean McCoy was responsible for exactly 33% of their entire offense last year? Alone, in terms of yardage, he had another outstanding season. But I guess I'm just banking on Father Time a little bit, you know, gradual decline, hashtag. And just he's with a loser. It's not a good setup for him.
Hang on. We're being told LeSean McCoy was already kicked out of the club a couple years ago because he kept telling the women what to wear.
Oh, yeah.
Like, telling women to meet up at, like, what was it? It was, like, these, like, mystery location pickup points.
Yeah.
And then they were given outfits or costumes.
He was going to give them their outfit to wear.
That was a fun story. He also wanted to be a great tipper in the club.
No.
And we know that, so maybe we don't want that around. So, anyway, McCoy, I did think, you know, is it fair?
He did point out, by the way, I'm looking at the story from 2015. When he showed up to training camp and they asked him about the female-only party, he did want to put it out there. For the record, there was no big orgy or anything.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, it's good that he cleared that up. No big orgy. Marshawn Lynch also, I think maybe it's kind of a cheat to say to move him out of the club, but could you? I would say if you guys had issues with LeSean McCoy, and Marshawn, who'd be better in a club than Marshawn Lynch?
Right,
he's a superstar. I don't know if he's playing at that.
Well, then
level,
you know what?
He's a big name.
You could take either of them out, in my opinion. You know what? I'll do a double too, Saquon and Alvin Kamara, and I'm gonna move out Shady and Beast Mode.
Lynch's jersey can hang on the wall of the superstar club, but he's no longer welcome.
I'm not sure how I feel about this Saquad's nickname.
It's terrible.
That's been catching on.
Very impressive. Leg muscles.
So, you know, I guess some teammates and some fans have called it, but he showed up to a celebrity softball game this weekend, Landon Collins' celebrity softball game, and he put on the back of the shirt Saquads. So he's basically, he's now saying, that's my nickname.
Do you know why?
He's pulling a Kobe?
Well, I think some people did call him that. So he didn't make it up out of thin air. But once he heard it, he likes it. He's got to stick with it.
You know, I support that because the one thing you don't want to ever have happen to you, you don't want to get muscle hamstered. And if you don't get behind a nickname and somebody hits you with a nickname that just sticks, like it happened to Doug Martin.
I made up 60% G for myself and put it on the back of my softball.
There you go.
And
it stuck.
Hmm. let me ask you a question. Do you think it's possible for a running back's thighs to get too big?
I don't know.
I don't know. Bo Jackson, I think, had the biggest thighs ever, and he was
Earl Campbell,
Dynamo.
My guess would be no, because the only time you ever notice him are in, like, great players.
Maurice
Jones-Drew, I once interviewed in his second year in the league, and I've never seen legs like that. Barkley reminds me of that. But, yeah, a younger Maurice Jones-Drew. But it wasn't too big. It was like
I just wonder about flexibility. Like, you don't see fullbacks running the ball. They're not very flexible.
Sounds like a trope next summer about Saquon. Slimmed down just a little bit and has more agility and explosiveness than ever.
I don't know. I could be making that up. It just feels like flexibility would be an issue.
As someone who has, like, no muscles, you know, anywhere in my body, it's hard for me to really posit a guess here.
I wanted to throw one more thing out there. Unless someone had a heat seeker they wanted to get off their chest.
That was it.
There is one issue I have with the Superstar Club in terms of making it work. Everything all checked out just now. But you absolutely, and we absolutely have to add Carson Wentz into the Superstar Club.
Yeah, I feel like he got added during last season.
Yeah, so he has to.
That's a good point.
He has to come in. And the only time I don't think the Superstar Club works is it's really hard to kick out a superstar quarterback. For whatever reason, maybe it's just because the glamour position that they play. But if I were to posit that to you, gentlemen, if you had to kick somebody out, because it's not something like this is a fringe guy. Carson Wentz is arguably a top three quarterback in the league right now, top five at the very least. Somebody's got to go.
I don't know who's in there. Like, is Joe Flacco, was he ever in?
No.
This hurts.
Greg, you know this.
This hurts because it's not his fault. But I think Andrew Luck's got to go.
That's what I was thinking.
He can come back in if he regains that level. But
people don't know that. You just because you get asked to leave doesn't mean you can't get invited again next year.
End of the line, please.
Yeah, I mean, they play a similar style of football, and right now you would have to say Carson Wentz is the better at playing it.
I mean, Larry Fitzgerald got kicked out, and he just went around the back and snuck back right back in.
Right back in.
That's fair.
And I don't see another – I don't even like the idea of kicking out Luck because I really do like him, his prospects this season, and I think that he will remain a quarterback that's a superstar. But I don't see anyone else that's an option unless you want to get behind the Drew Brees or
– Is Derek Carr in the club?
I don't think so. I don't think he ever made it. I don't think
he's like – he and Stafford are vying for the right to be the next one through the door?
I was thinking about that because something you had said, Greg, that Stafford is – kind of hit that level, but I cannot, in good conscience, kick somebody else out.
No, I don't think Stafford's got to raise it up even another level to get in.
Jimmy G? I might have to do it for a little bit longer.
Yeah, he's got to show it, but he'll make room for somebody. Tom Brady will go next year because he's retiring. Giselle's just about done with this, and he's just about done. So some of these old guys got to step out of the way and let some new kids into the club.
I almost tapped Sean Lee on the shoulder.
Look, we have capacity.
Kicked him in? Almost. Wow.
Phillip Rivers rarely shows up, but he's there.
Yeah, he's
a superstar?
He's a superstar.
I don't know about that.
Interesting. Why, do you want to kick out Phil Rivers instead of
I didn't think Phil Rivers was in the superstar.
I thought he was. But
I would assume. Yeah, he's just.
I thought this room would have him in.
Yeah, of course.
Without even thinking twice.
I've got to change the definition of superstar. He's got to put Phil Rivers in.
Oh, how dare you. He's got a butt heavy in the corner. He's having a good old time.
Interesting. I don't think Rivers is in.
Interesting. Okay. There you go. There will be a written piece on NFL.com going up tomorrow, Tuesday, by the old Zeus or the NFL Superstar Club. I might even include some of the offerings. The Raekwon Smith one, that's pretty bold, Wes. I'm going to have to think about that one.
What are the consequences if I'm wrong?
None. Like everything we say in the offseason. You know the zero consequences.
When we do this next year and we resurface the article.
I'll be ridiculed.
If he doesn't play on third downs or something and has three sacks. It won't look good.
That's fair.
But who cares?
You can hold my feet to the fire at that point.
Stakes aren't extreme.
Or we'll all completely forget about it.
That's what happened with this club for the last 3 years. So we'll be back on Wednesday. Connie Fox will be joining us, so that will be fun. And should we do it? Should we bring back the Wheel of Destiny?
I love Wheel of Destiny.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to have to listen to the show again to – refresh myself.
Lindsay, are you ready for the Wheel of Destiny?
Definitely.
That feels like it's a very producer-heavy show. Like you're going to have to be at the top of your game.
I always am.
Unlike LeBron in games 3 and 4.
Well, he did have a broken hand from punching a blackboard because the refs stole the game from him.
By the way, that's a bad job by Bron. I love LeBron more than anybody, but, like, you don't come out after game four and say, oh, yeah, I broke my hand because I was so angry because they stole game one from me.
Actually, I do know somebody.
MJ wouldn't do that.
I do know somebody in Cleveland that had that information after game one but was told not to report it by the team. So
really?
It's legit.
Has there ever been a
whoever this person
worse
is,
game
is,
one
he's
is
kicking
fallout.
Himself. He's kicking himself.
Well, yeah,
for
and
not
he's kind
it.
Of a toady
Dummy.
For the team.
He has an involvement with the team where he
– Okay.
So.
It's
a pretty extreme maneuver just to get a supporting cast.
What, to get swept?
You got a supporting cast.
Oh.
I liked it.
Went over my head.
Was that a West original or was that one of those?
I saw it floating around.
Floating around the net. All right. We'll be back on Wednesday. Till then, this is Dan Hansen signing off for the mailman, the old boss, Blazer, and Lindsay Fulton behind the glass. Till Wednesday!
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.